worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your hosts, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brower, and I'm so glad to have you with us today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I am absolutely doing wonderful. It's a beautiful day out here. We don't have any chemtrails, and isn't it sad that I actually get excited when we don't have chemtrails in Florida and we actually have sunshine and we're supposed to be the sunshine state. So, yeah, I'm doing great, buddy. But, of course, I'm doing great even with chemtrails because I realize greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And we're just going to go ahead and keep going down here and being positive about all this stuff regardless of what they try to do to us.
Amen on that. Well, the first story I want to start off today, this one's interesting. Dad will have an interesting opinion, I know, on this as well. This article, though, is from Coral Beach Food Safety News. They're stating on here that the FDA's failure to act to protect the public from deadly bacteria in shellfish not only means the agency is in violation of Food Safety Modernization Act, but they're saying at least 15 people will likely die unnecessarily every year. The USDA should stop dragging its feet and act on a four-year-old petition urging the agency to regulate deadly bacteria and shellfish harvest in the Gulf Coast waters and sold for raw consumption. They said without this safety, and in the next year, an estimated 30 people will become seriously ill. Apparently, the FDA has had something going on for the last couple of years. They've warned people, consumers, of consuming raw oysters, shellfish, because of the specific bacteria that's in them, but they've really done nothing to try and prevent it from happening. So I thought this was an interesting topic, especially since we live in Florida, and shellfish is a huge commodity down here. I do not eat raw oats. I do not eat shellfish. So I'm just putting that on the table right now, and I know Dad feels the same way. Well, what do you think about this, though, Dad, trying to get the FDA to make some guidelines on this stuff as far as with the raw shellfish?
It needs to be done. I mean, we have 18 to 20 to 30 people a year die from paralytic shellfish poisoning in Florida every year. It's a horrible, horrible death. You basically get eaten by parasites. It's horrible. And, you know, this is one of the things that I tell people. I mean, you don't eat raw oysters. You don't eat raw clams. You don't eat raw sushi. You just don't do that. There's too many bugs that like to eat you. And we need to be putting this stuff into your body in any concentration. The one exception I do have with this particular rule is that if a product is processed and there's no parasitic activity left in it, and it could be used to help rebuild your joints like we have with our joint rebuilding formula, it's green muscle extract, I'm okay with that because I know the miracles that I've seen with that. But other than that, I don't recommend getting involved in or taking any pork products or your shellfish products or anything else like that. I just don't recommend it at all. But, guys, it's just one of those things. When you start doing raw shellfish or undercooked pork, you got a major, major, major problem, and it can kill you pretty doggone quick. And so we tell folks, don't do it. Just stay away from it and just completely and totally avoid it. I remember back in 1981, a dear friend of mine right now, he was an old friend of mine, may he rest in peace, Henry Minks, a good man. He's long gone now. He was probably 55 years old way back when, and so he's been gone now for years. And I remember he took me and Gene Dawes. You know Gene also. You know, he was best man at my wedding with your mom. And I've known Gene for over 40 years. And he took Gene and I to Greenleaf Golf and Country Club, which is actually the home of the PGA. And he took us to an all-you-can-eat shellfish buffet. And I thought, wow, how cool is this? This is before I got convicted as far as not eating shellfish, et cetera. And I'll never forget this. I ended up getting unbelievably sick from shellfish poisoning. I mean, it's probably one of the sickest I've ever been in my whole life. And I mean, I literally was vomiting for 4 days. And Gene, he ended up vomiting for 4 days. Henry, on the other hand, showed restraint, didn't eat a bunch of shit. I don't think he ate any shellfish, actually. But we had never been to a shellfish, all-you-can-eat seafood buffet like that. And I had no idea. Well, I mean, gosh, what was I? 40 years, what was that? So that was what, 35 years ago? So what was I, 25 years old? I mean, as a kid. And I got really, really sick. And I tell you what, it had to happen to me one time. I have never intentionally eaten raw shellfish or shellfish of any kind, as far as edible, ever since that. Now, if I had to use it in a product to help rebuild joints, I'll do it. The same thing is true with pork insulin. Sometimes people can't take the synthetic insulin. They've got to use the pork insulin to stay alive. I have no problem with that either. But, you know, this stuff has to be processed to make sure the trichina and the parasites and all these different things are no longer active in these types of products before you start ingesting them and putting it into your body. But if it'll save a life or rebuild a joint, okay. Other than that, just don't do it and don't eat it, especially in its raw form. So, yeah. remember the first time I ate raw oysters, I was at my neighbor's house, and they were had gone to the beach or something and got a bushel of oysters, and they were either shucking them in the backyard. And the first time I saw a raw oyster, I thought it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And then they were putting them on crackers and pouring hot sauce to them. So I finally tried one. I thought, okay, that tastes pretty good. Now, the truth is they are high in zinc, and that's one of the reasons that they can increase your libido when you eat raw oysters. But you can take a zinc supplement that's chelated like our zinc and do the same thing and increase, you know, the amount of sperm. The problem with oysters and shellfish or any of these products awesome like this, they can contain abnormally high levels of arsenic, lead, of mercury, and shellfish, you know, parasites. I mean, so you don't want to eat this stuff raw ever into your body. Have you ever had any of your friends get sick from raw shellfish?
I've heard about it before. I think one or two of my friends back in college, I know they were real big on it, and they still continue to eat it, but they said they had gotten sick before. And the problem is that I never really understood is, you know, I have a tendency to use something called logic a lot of times. And, you know, I've been a, you know, certified scuba diver since I was 14. You know, I've been educated in a lot of marine stuff. And so when I start looking at raw oysters that these guys, you know, sit at the bottom of the ocean in the sand, and they basically filter out the poop and the waste and the toxins and all the stuff that floats to the bottom of the ocean. These guys basically eat it, and they process it, and that's what helps keep the water clean. We used to have mussels in our Lake Arrieta that we live on. They've all pretty much died now from a lot of the herbicide and pesticide and aluminum exposure, but we used to go down the water and scoop them up by the handfuls and then just drop them back down and just kind of, you know, play with them when we were little kids. But I remember the first time I saw somebody, like you were saying, that they're cracking these things open and slurping them out, I thought to myself, good golly, that's disgusting. And secondly, why are you eating a filter? I mean, are you really, it'd be like going out to your car and pulling the oil filter off the transmission or the engine and pulling the filter out of it and eating the filter and just, you know, having at it. What you're eating. You're eating a giant filter at the bottom of the ocean. No wonder you guys, people get so sick off this stuff. So, I mean, just use some common sense. Like Dad said, I mean, there's a reason why they talk about not eating this stuff in the Bible. God knew this stuff's unbelievably toxic as far as what it carries. Now, same thing he said. We have the green mussel extract or the shark cartilage extract. You guys have to remember, this stuff is triple assayed and tested before the raws even get used in production. And then after production, they're tested again to make sure they have absolutely zero levels of any type of heavy metals, toxic elements, any contaminants whatsoever. This is all requirement for FDA laboratories, manufacturing facilities, which we use. So there's a whole other element between eating raw mussels and getting a pure, true, exact green mussel extract like in our joint rebuilding formula. So, yeah, I'm glad you clarified that as well so people understand exactly. There's a huge difference between the two.
Well, and also remember this. An oyster will filter up to 50 gallons of seawater a day, and it has no excretory system. That's why if they put a grain of sand in it, they really can't get rid of the sand. It'll put a mussel. It'll build a pearl around it because it's trying to cover up the sand. It doesn't just throw the sand back out. The sand gets stuck in there, lodged in there. So now it's stuck trying to cover the pearl, cover the grain of sand or whatever else they put in there to cause this thing to form. But the reality is this, you know, 50 gallons of seawater a day and has no excretory system, that means all of those toxins that build up inside of there stay inside of there. And I agree with you, Austin. It's the herbicides and it's the pesticides and it's the aluminum in the rainwater. We used to live on a super clear lake, and it's not anymore. And it's really sad because it's just like another nasty Central Florida lake now. It used to be so clear you couldn't tell the lake water from drinking water from a distiller. It was that clean. But not anymore. It's just happened in about the last 10 years. And I personally think that the amount of aluminum that they're spraying on us down here now has so toxified the water that has killed the mussels and plus the people spraying their stupid Roundup into the lake and all the other things they do. It's just awful what they do, Austin. So that's a pretty good story. What's your next one, bud?
Interesting. We've talked about it repeatedly now in other countries, but antibiotic resistant superbugs have now officially reached the United States. A day long feared by doctors has arrived. A patient in the United States now infected by a strain of bacteria that is completely resistant to antibiotics. This is from the Washington Post. 49-year-old Pennsylvania woman whose urine contained a strain of E. coli bacteria that resisted colistin has been basically admitted now. Colistin is the antibiotic of last resort. Basically, when you respond to nothing else, they give you Colistin. This bacteria, this E. coli bacteria that they've been finding in multiple different countries, and it's spreading rapidly, it's resistant to nothing. Colistin doesn't even affect it. And this is one of the biggest fears that doctors have talked about a long time, is that if this bacteria starts spreading in certain areas, especially areas that, you know, people already have a lowered immune system, like they've been getting vaccinated a lot, or they keep getting sprayed with chemtrails, or they're eating lots of GMO foods, kind of like almost everywhere in the United States now. This is a serious issue. They also added that the patient had not traveled outside the United States in the past 5 months, and the doctors do not yet understand how the bacteria got into her system. So this will be an ongoing investigation, I'm sure. But as I said, we talked about this last year multiple times, that this is something that's pretty serious, and this is one of the issues that we've seen now from the over-prescription use of antibiotics, the animal over-usage of antibiotics, and just the absolute exposure to antibiotics for no reason. And this is what we've formed now. We have a, you know, a colistin-resistant E. coli that does not respond to any type of bacteria or any type of antibiotics now. So this is something we're definitely going to watch, and I'll keep you guys up to date on it.
That's right. Here's another article that says that the Massachusetts committee passes bill to expand raw milk sales, set foundation to nullify federal prohibition scheme. That's pretty cool. They're actually saying that they're going to be getting rid of the ban in Massachusetts on raw milk. On the current law, Massachusetts law, raw milk sales are only allowed on the farm, while limited the measures in S2286 will expand the sale and consumption of unpasteurized milk in the state. Guys, this is a really, really important thing that we allow us, that we have to have. We have to get the right back to use raw certified goat's milk and cow's milk. The state needs to come into these dairies and they need to certify and make sure they're bacteria free. And we need to be able to eat this again and drink this again. This is what the real milk is supposed to be. And it's just great. I know I used to get Amish milk sent to me and, you know, here in Florida. And we also bought a bunch of it in Pennsylvania when we were there. And it's just a phenomenal product. It's just raw milk when it's done right. You can buy it in France still, too. It's great. Here's another interesting article by Mark Salvo. He goes, secret law will now give the FBI full access to your email without a warrant. Guys, just do yourself a favor. And this is super important. Don't put anything in writing on your emails that you don't want the FBI to read. I mean, I don't know how to make that any more plain than that, Austin. I mean, don't be talking to people on the phones that you don't want your phone's recorded. Don't be writing stuff that down and emailing it that you don't want anybody else to read. Just assume that whatever you're going to say on the telephone is going to be shouted from the rooftops, and whatever you say on your emails is going to be shouted from the rooftops. Well, just leave it at that. I mean, the problem with this is they're doing this under the guise of terrorism. And this is one of the major things last night, because a lot of the search engines now with Google and Facebook, they're going to start restricting language really heavily. Complete form of censorship. Again, it goes directly against the First Amendment. And the TV last night was saying they're doing this because it prevents the terrorists from communicating with each other. That's complete nonsense. What it does, it prevents us as Americans from communicating with each other in a fashion that they don't like. They're calling it hate speech or whatever. I mean, it's like if I say something about the Sabbatine, Kabbalists, Frankists, Luciferians, okay? Well, that's a subgroup, I guess. I guess I can't say that anymore. Well, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to quit saying that. Unless they say to me, you're going to go to prison now if you say that, then probably I'll stop doing my radio talk show, because if I'm going to be censored to that level, I'm not going to do it. Now, here's one caveat, though. Glenn Beck has been pulled off Sirius Radio because he had a guy come on last week who talked about getting somebody to assassinate Donald Trump. I mean, this is a major problem for Glenn Beck right now. I mean, Glenn Beck is a heavy diet soda drinker. As far as I'm concerned, he's losing it with his brain, and he basically has so put all of his marbles, you know, with Ted Cruz, that now he's going berserkoid trying to get Donald Trump disqualified. I mean, what does he want? Hillary Clinton in there? The guy's nuts. And now they're talking openly on the radio about getting Trump assassinated. But Glenn Beck should be pulled off the air and should be arrested by the FBI. I mean, you can't do that. You've never heard me say anything in that regard of Hillary Clinton. I hope that Hillary Clinton gets saved. I hope she gets born again. I hope she gets to go to heaven. I hope she turns from her wicked ways. But I've never one time encouraged anyone to do any harm to her or any other political candidate. I don't do stuff like that because, number one, it's not Christian. Number two, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. And you can't be threatening the future president of the United States by trying to get somebody to assassinate him on a national radio TV talk show. Austin, what's wrong with Glenn Beck?
That's a good question. I think it's a million-dollar question. I don't know. I don't care where you're at in the United States. It's not acceptable behavior to threaten to kill anybody. It's just not. It doesn't matter if you're a civilian, if you're in the military, whatever you're doing, you can't walk around saying you're going to assassinate people. Now, if you're in a war zone, if you're in a declared area where basically you can engage enemy combat, that's a completely different scenario. But we are not in a state of war in the United States, and Glenn Beck is a very high-profile individual. So running his mouth to that degree is pretty stupid, in my opinion. He's really asking for trouble. I think he's kind of gotten away with some of this when he talked about, you know, that one comment he made about pulling a knife on Donald Trump a while back ago, and now this. I think he kind of feels like he's entitled maybe and he can get away with it. I'm not sure, but yeah, I definitely think he's starting to lose his mind because most people in their normal right mind don't repeatedly talk about trying to assassinate other individuals. That's just not acceptable.
Well, not the future president of the United States. Having said he's got a secret service protection. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Here's another article from Mark Salvo. He goes, there's something changing in the market. He goes, CENs are hinting of massive shortages of silver as tech manufacturers are now going directly to mining companies in order to get silver. This is by Keither Neunermeyer, who has been an outspoken critic of the rampant price manipulation on commodity exchanges and is the CEO of the First Majestic Silver and chairman of Precious Metals Mineral Bank Fort Mining Finances. His latest revelation suggests that despite billions of dollars being traded daily on paper exchanges, physical silver supplies along the world have tightened to such an extent that manufacturers have been left with no choice but go directly to the mines because they can't get their silver. Despite the supply-demand fundamentals clearly indicating price should be significantly higher, Neumeyer understands it's always in the driving force. So what they're doing is they're using the naked paper shorts, Austin, to sell this stuff at way below cost. So guys, it's a good opportunity still because this is going to go through the roof. Hang on a second, Austin. I'm going to take about a two-minute break. I'll be right back. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll take over. Yeah, and absolutely. The silver market's definitely, there's no reason not to be involved in that right now. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was saying how he basically uses the paper market to kind of day trade and make money here and there as they're doing it. But then as he makes money off the paper market, he actually turns around and buys physical at whatever the best price he can get a hold of for his long-term assets. And essentially what the metals do, as we talked about before, they're asset preservation. It's wealth preservation. That's what it is. You're not going to make a substantial amount of money on physicals unless we see some massive explosion of price. But then you have to question, you know, if gold goes up to $5,000 an ounce, are you going to start selling it? Well, if it goes to that price, what are all the other prices going to be on the market as far as what are cars going to push up to? What is fuel going to go up to? What are other commodities? So those are things to factor in. But the biggest thing about physical metals is no matter what time in history you've looked at, metals have always been used as a form of wealth, a form of trading, a form of bartering, and that's exactly what you have to look at it as. Silver's been pushed down pretty good again. I think it was like $15.50 this morning, but yeah, you still see the silver eagles pushing for almost $20 an ounce with the premiums. It's because it doesn't matter. If people want physical, they're going to pay the premiums on it because that's really what the real prices are going towards. This paper market's so manipulated. This is another health article on Quaker Oats again. I had somebody email me up a couple weeks ago, I think, about Quaker Oats. They're asking me which Quaker Oats, you know, if this specific version of Quaker Oats had glyphosate, and we hadn't done that specific one, but I had seen a couple articles on other ones. And the thing you have to think about, guys, is Quaker Oats buys their oats in raw. They make different forms as far as their instant oats and other things that they do at their processing plant. But they're taking in their mass tonnage from specific growers that are growing their oats for them. And if one form of their oats contains glyphosate, there's a strong possibility a large percentage of their oats are going to contain glyphosate because they're not going to be getting 50 or 60 different sources of oats. And more than likely, now I could be wrong about that. If you work for Quaker, email me and let me know. But most of these guys, they probably have anywhere from maybe 5 to 10 specific oat sources. That's about it. I can't imagine much more than that because they're trying to buy in bulk and get the best price they can. Well, here you go. This is perfect evidence now. Taiwan has recalled Quaker Oats after a random inspection by the country's FDA, Taiwan's FDA. they detected glyphosate in amounts exceeding the nation's legal limits in 10 out of the 36 products that they carry in that country from Quaker Oats. It has been a rough month for Quaker Oats. The company has been under intense public scrutiny since trace amounts of glyphosate were detected in its products. According to the Taiwanese FDA, the amount of glyphosate in a shipment of Quaker Oats products exceeded acceptable levels of herbicide. The 10 products were found to have glyphosate residue levels between 0.1 parts per million and 1.8. The product that I'm, the further ones I'm about to talk about right here, these are the ones that have excessive glyphosate. Old-fashioned Quaker Oats. There you go. The original old-fashioned Quaker Oats. Quaker Quick 1-Minute Oats. Coach Oats. Bob's Red Mill Instant Rolled Oats. 50-50 Hardy Cut Oatmeal. McMahon's Imported Irish Oatmeal. And Australia Fine Oat Flakes. And so apparently these are some of the main ones that they saw on here that tested over the limit. Taiwan has a pretty much zero tolerance for glyphosate levels in oatmeal products versus a set limit as a nation that does not produce oats. So I thought it was interesting. That's why I wanted to bring it up to you guys again today, is that Quaker Oats, if you don't want to eat glyphosate, don't touch Quaker Oats. Because if they're original, if they're quick, if their special formulas contain glyphosate, there's a pretty much 99% probability that all their other oats are going to contain
That's
it, because these guys aren't sourcing their oats, like I said, from 50 different suppliers. They're getting them from a few main raw growers, and that's just it. So Quaker Oats is pretty much off the table for me, not that I really ever ate them before, but definitely won't eat them now. So you guys just keep an eye out on that.
Just get organic steel cut oats. Be done with it.
That's the best thing to do.
I mean, we eat oatmeal on a regular basis. So do you. I mean, it's a really good carbohydrate, and you put a little bit of organic milk on it, a little bit of stevia. I mean, it's absolutely amazing how it tastes if you cook it long enough. And we call it porridge in Europe. And when we had our breakfasts, we'd always ask them. We'd have like a breakfast buffet, and we'd say it was porridge included on the breakfast buffet, and they would always tell us yes. And they'd make it for us, and sometimes it was good, sometimes it wasn't. A lot of times they don't know what porridge is over there in some of the countries, but that's what it is. It's just really well cooked oats. And so, yeah, I had some of the best porridge I've ever had on a trip this time, primarily in Germany. You start getting down into Italy, they really don't know what that is, and they really kind of butchered the oats. But it's just kind of sad, really, that people don't understand, Austin, that, you know, it's all about organic now. And the sad part about it is a lot of these big organic companies are being bought up by these other manufacturers who produce all of these non-organic products. And I hate to see that happen, because you don't know what they're going to do as far as quality control. Because remember, we talked about this yesterday, about how a large percentage of the companies on the New York Stock Exchange now have been bought by the Rothschild Bank indirectly through these secret stock purchases with all this money they've printed, and now they own all the major corporations. And remember, these guys think we're animals. They don't think that we're human beings, and they don't care what they feed us or what they produce for us. And they love using their fiat currency to manufacture products that are going to basically poison us. Then that's what they do. And that's exactly another perfect example with Quaker Oats. I mean, here we have a product that's been a staple in American households, Austin, probably for 60, 70 years, since when I was a kid. I know it's further back than that. And now we find out it's contaminated with glyphosate. So it's kind of crazy this has actually happened. Now, here's an article from Sessions. A lot of people are saying that Sessions needs to be the vice presidential candidate. And I most certainly believe that Trump could pick him and be okay with that. I don't think he needs to pick Newt Gingrich, because I don't trust Newt. I like Newt. He's a likable guy. He really talks up Trump. But doggone it all, he's too much of a globalist and a globalist insider, and I don't want him being one heartbeat away from the White House. Here's what Sessions said. This is from Politico. Sessions, a 69-year-old former state attorney general who famously donned the Make America Great Tucker Trucker cap at a massive rally in Mobile last August, thinks Trump is more a movement than a man. And this sprightly son of country preachers and teachers is on a mission to evangelize maybe Trumpers like House Speaker Paul Ryan on the gospel according to Donald. With a sermon on self-preservation, I think Ryan needs to recognize on some of these issues, Trump is where the Republicans are. And if you're going to be a Republican leader, you should be supportive of that, Sessions told me during a taping of Politico's off-message podcast in the Senate office last week. My advice is to listen and accept the will of the American people. The Republican voters, the Republican Party is the Republican voters, he added, a pointed reference to Ryan's suggestion that he, and not the presumptive party nominee, represents authentic conservative values. Give me a break. A lot of our drift within the party has gotten away from the will of the voters. I think the leaders in all parties tends to adjust to the reality. They have to, or they won't remain in office. I know many of them are already sensing it. Guys, Trump is not a man. It's a movement. It's a movement that's saying, we've had enough of this. We are tired of the lies. We are tired of the pedophiles. We're tired of all of this. I mean, one of the articles I saw popped up on my computer yesterday that Trump, when he was between wives, was dating a former Playmate bunny. You're like, oh, well, they're like, this was a bad thing for him to have done. You know, guys, quite frankly, whatever. I don't care if he dated a Playmate bunny. Who cares? I don't care about that. He wasn't married. He's dating some hot blonde out of a Playboy magazine. Whatever. You know, I'm not advocating that. He didn't marry that. So what difference does it make? So, guys, all of this stuff they're trying to stick on Trump, I don't think it's going to stick, Austin. What do you think? In fact, this lawsuit now that's also been exposed about Trump University lawsuit has been brought by a firm who paid $675,000 to Bill and Hillary Clinton. I mean, unreal. All of this political insider and trading is now coming to a head, and people are finally beginning to realize there's a major problem, and it ain't Donald Trump. It's the Clinton-Bush dynasty and the Nazis that basically came in through Prescott Bush into the United States. What do you think, Oz?
Well, we see exactly what's going on. It is a movement, like you said, and that's why they're pushing so hard, because it's the resistance movement. It's a revolution movement. It's change, but positive change, not like the kind that King Obama tried to bring to us, that he has brought to us. His change is just pretty much gay change. I mean, there's nothing left. I mean, we see now that he declared today the presidential proclamation from the office of the press secretary that he's declaring month of June 2016 lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender pride month. That's embarrassing to me. Not the fact that these guys have their own month. That's their own deal. I really don't care. The fact that the president of the United States, the pinnacle of the world as far as I'm concerned, as far as what country we have here, he's decreed now as King Obama that we have gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual month for June of 2016. That's just embarrassing as an American. I mean, who does stuff like that? Who really does stuff like this as a president of the United States? You're supposed to basically, you know, run the country essentially from a good, true, now, I say biblical because that's my preference, but obviously we've stepped away from that. But getting involved in these little petty affairs, like we've said before, if it's not clear now, golly, it doesn't get much clearer than this. That one of his big changes that he wanted to bring to America was trying to feminize it and really bring in this gay, lesbian, transgender movement. He's done a phenomenal job at that. So, yeah, while everybody's criticizing Trump for dating a Playmate model in the past, we have the President of the United States declaring LGBT month for 2016 in the United States. Yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump. That's where I'm going.
Well, you know, last year, I've mentioned this before, I'm on Hagman. I'm not sure if I talked about it much on our show. Last fall, it's been 6-8 months ago, they were on the show The Voice with Blake Shelton. I used to watch that show until this incident happened. They had a guy, they called him the new Elvis. And he sang a song, I'm going to get me a new girlfriend. And this guy was a football player. He was as straight as the day was straight. And the girls loved him. I mean, he probably sang one of the best songs that I've ever heard sung on that show or on any reality TV show. And he was super macho kid, super good looking, great singer, great dancer. I mean, he was like Elvis, like Frank Sinatra, back to, Dean Martin. I mean, just dripping testosterone. Had all these women calling him up, wanting to date him. He's like 17 years old. I mean, adult women wanting to date him. I mean, it's unbelievable the notoriety he received. And smoked everybody. And Blake Shelton told him, you're going to be in the finalists. You're going to be in the top four. Well, he wasn't. He wasn't in the top four. They bumped him out at number five. And I've had so many people ask me about that. I'm going to address it again. Here's my opinion on why that happened. They don't want that role model for the American girls and American boys anymore. They've done everything they can to feminize America and to make it this gay and lesbian stuff. And so why in the world are they going to put an Elvis Presley or Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin back onto the show and give them all of this notoriety and make them number one bestseller? They want Justin Bieber. Okay, that little effeminate mess. Okay, they wanted Prince, that little effeminate mess. They wanted Michael Jackson, that little effeminate mess. But Michael turned on them, and so did Prince. That's why they ended up both dying. Okay, Justin Bieber is just about as effeminate as it's going to get. And, you know, and all these other guys, you know, who, you know, these guys they bring on these shows that are actually openly gay now. I mean, it's ridiculous. But see, that's the agenda, because they're getting 10, 12, 15, 18 million people watching these shows in a cumulative week. And they want to bring that mindset. They want to bring that energy field into existence in this country. And they can't have one kid come in and undermining it all, and all the girls start thinking, wow, I kind of like that guy. He's pretty macho. He's a football player. I kind of like that. That's pretty cool. I like that. They don't want that, Austin. They want to keep that gay mantra going, which Obama has so been willing to promote. And again, it's like Joan Rivers said, Obama is gay and his wife's a transvestite. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but there sure are a lot of people on the internet that are saying that's true, but it sure does seem to be true with this agenda that he has going on. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, that's why I brought it up, because it's so blatantly obvious now, especially with this little decree that he did. There's no, you can't even argue with it anymore.
No. I mean, how in the world? I mean, so you know, and of course, after he finishes his White House term, you know, they'll probably come out of the closet and say that he was gay and that she was a bigender and all this kind of transgender and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, it's going to be like, oh, wow, we got through all of that. Well, yeah, that's right. We got through it. The country didn't come to an end. See how you should have accepted it to start with. And Joan Rivers straight called him out. Well, come on. Everybody knows Obama's gay and Michelle's a tranny. She's a transgender. Everybody knows that. I mean, come on. I mean, watch her say it on YouTube. She's got millions of views. She straight called it out because she didn't think anything of it, because she's a super, super liberal Jew out of New York, and she's super, super liberal, positive about all of this stuff. I mean, I'll never forget this. I remember years ago we were driving up to we actually flew up to North to see the Red Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We were blessed enough to get tickets to see that. And I'll never forget that we were actually in a taxi. And it was me and the three younger kids, David Crank, his wife, and their daughter. And we were like in this van being taken back to the hotel. And I remember we were talking to David Crank, and I said, he's a pastor. And I said, now, David, you're going to find out there's like hardly any Christmas decorations in New York City for Christmas. Rockefeller Plaza and Trump Towers, that's about it for Christmas. Everything else is just generic lights. And the windows, even at Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, will have no Christmas stuff as far as nativity or anything like that. And he goes, why not? I said, well, Manhattan is primarily Jewish. And I said, they don't believe in Jesus, so they're not going to allow that to happen. And then the guy started talking in the taxi, and he goes, well, that's true. And he goes, but you don't know the whole story about this. And he says, you guys can't repeat this to anybody and give my name, but you can sure enough talk about it, but I'm not going to let you use my name on this, or I'll lose my tag license for my taxi. And he goes, the Jews, when they go to school in Manhattan, he says they have separate schools for the boys and the girls all the way through high school. So there's no group interaction with the boys and the girls. He says that doesn't exist. And he says, so what ends up happening, a lot of these guys have become gay. And these gay screenwriters, they move to Hollywood because that's, you know, where all their gay buddies are. And they start writing all of these screenplays and start producing all of these TV shows. Now, this is all true. This is all just true information. He said the problem that what it's done is left the Jewish women in a dither, because now there aren't that many Jewish men anymore who aren't gay who are out there to get married to them, the Jewish ladies. And I thought to myself, wow. So a couple of years later, we were out in I guess it was someplace out west in Colorado somewhere. I think it was Aspen. And we had gotten a hotel in Aspen because we were tired of being in the RV for 2 weeks. And I remember I was at the swimming pool, and they had a big convention there, and there was a Jewish American convention about something or another, which is okay. I mean, they can all have conventions. I mean, if you have Christian American conventions, they can have a Jewish American convention. And what happened is we were by the pool, and there was a lady sitting there. And I started talking to her, and she was Jewish. And I told her what this cab driver had told me. And she looked at me, and she said, that's exactly right. That's exactly the truth. And I said, well, what about you? She goes, well, my husband's dead. And she goes, I'm in my 40s. And she goes, there aren't any other Jewish guys today because they're almost all gay. The guy who talked to you in that cab, because this lady was from Manhattan also, she goes, the guy who told you this in that taxi was telling you the truth. it's a real problem with the Jewish women today, and we really don't know what to do about it because all of the guys have become homosexual. Well, these are the guys now that are writing the Hollywood screenplays and putting all of these movies together. That's why you'll see a really good movie, and all of a sudden there's a gay character in it. Why does there have to be a gay character? I mean, it was a really good like PG movie, now there's a gay character. And why do they have to do that? I'm not saying that, you know, there's not a place for that, but why don't they just do a gay movie and let all the people go see the gay movie that want to see the gay movie? But when we take children to see a movie, why do we have to have a gay character in it? That's why, like with Nickelodeon, so much of that has become so effeminized. This is the culture where they're trying to move us in that direction, Austin, and they're slowly massaging us that way. The problem is we don't want to go that way, a lot of us. I mean, we're like macho guys. I mean, it's just not something we want to do. So the truth of the matter is this. You know, we've just got to say no, we're not going to watch that, and no, we're not going to support it. Last night we went to see the new X-Men Apocalypse movie. I haven't even talked about this, Austin. I went with your younger brother to go see it. And what it is very, very interesting. It's about Lucifer and Isis and basically the Elohim, the fallen angels, and how he got trapped at the bottom of a pyramid for like 2,000 years, and they finally got him out of the pyramid. And he was a fallen angel, and he had all his power. It was the craziest thing you've ever seen. He was trying to take over the planet. And it was a really, really good movie. And there wasn't any gay stuff in it. There was a couple of bad words, which they do, I guess, to get their PG-13 rating. But the point is, it was a really good movie that was showing that Lucifer got defeated and was destroyed. And so what's interesting about all of this stuff is they can make a good movie, and then at the end they were actually thanking God that they had been delivered from this mess. So it's interesting when you see even like a franchise like the X-Men try to go back and try to put it back Humpty Dumpty back together again. Because quite frankly, Obama has kicked Humpty Dumpty off the wall. Okay, and we got a mess. And there ain't no fixing this mess unless we go in now with somebody like Donald Trump and we start undoing all of his executive orders, especially since he's brought the homosexual group into the military, Austin. Now we've got a major problem with all of that. So I don't know, Doug, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, the thing about with the military is, I mean, it was never one of those things where, you know, it was completely verboten. Like, you couldn't be in the military if you were gay. But one thing about it was, if you were, you better kept it to yourself. You know, you don't brag about it. You're not openly flamboyant about it. And now they've changed that where they can't even kick you out no matter what type of debauchery you get involved in regarding that type of activity. So that's really killed a lot of stuff with it. Not saying that people that are, you know, gay or involved in that can't do good in the military, because I'm sure a lot of them probably can. It's just, it feminizes a lot of it, and that's what it does. That's why they've slowly reduced the Marine Corps PT standards for years now. They've done the same thing with the female standards. Now, again, they're trying to bring in women into a full-blown infantry battle rattle realm where they, you know, do, you know, rucks with the guys. They deploy in the active hot zones, and that's what it's done now, and there's just no reason for it, but it's exactly what you said. It's the overall feminization of the entire country, and that way you have very little resistance when the time comes, because most people that don't want to rock the boat, because they're just kind of, you know, they're more pacifist on it. And that's when I think another thing of it is that's what they're trying to do with the whole political correct thing. They're trying to make everybody tolerant. You always hear that word, you need to be tolerant, you need to be tolerant, you need to tolerate this, you need to tolerate that. Well, you need to tolerate the police state. You need to tolerate them beating you with a baton because you don't buckle your seatbelt. You need to tolerate them taking you to jail for a red light ticket. That's where it's pushing us further and further and further, is that they want us to get to a point where it doesn't matter what they do to us, how they treat us, what they expose us to, what they put us in, we're supposed to tolerate it. And that comes my next article here. This is from Brandon Turberville. This is crazy, because this just so far shows you how crazy the drug police state is getting further and further. North Carolina, in regards to a popular plant known as kratom. And for those who are unaware, the kratom is a tropical evergreen tree in the coffee family, which is native to Southeast Asia. It is not an opiate. It does not possess opiate properties. However, it does a very good job at managing mild pain and anxiety, and also can help curb alcohol dependence. It does have a slightly euphoric presence to it. I mean, it's a plant extract, though. There's nothing abnormal about it. Similar to those of, you know, with a light opiate or a light just relaxing, you know, element. But it's, again, a completely natural plant. You basically eat the buds off of it. But now Senator Tom McGinnis and other members of the North Carolina Senate are attempting to make sure that no one is able to use this at all. Senate Bill SB 830 was filed in the Senate on May 10th this year. The bill will add kratom to the list of controlled substances now and appropriate funds for the State Bureau of Investigation so that the SBI will be able to open another front in the costly, counterproductive war on drugs. It says, while Senator McGinnis and SB 830 supporters may find mass incarceration of nonviolent people an attractive aspect of North Carolina, many others do not. We highly encourage the readers, particularly in North Carolina residents, to email and call members of the Senate Healthcare Committee for the North Carolina Senate and demand this insane bill be abandoned. And this is just, again, what it is. They tell us to be tolerant about stuff, but then they turn around and want to schedule another plant that grows naturally in your yard. This is the hypocrisy of what we're seeing in this country now, something that the founding fathers of this country never would have approved of, and this is the exact reason why they came over here. Well, one of the exact reasons is because the tyranny knew no bounds over in Europe at the time, and that's what we're starting to see America turn into.
And what happened is we saw the suffrage movement with the women back in the early 1900s actually form the prohibition on alcohol. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that Rockefeller was involved with the prohibition and helped to fund the suffrage movement. It was one of the principal components of getting alcohol banned in the United States. You know, this is the original Rockefeller guy, the guy who owned Standard Oil. And what was funny about this is that people didn't understand this, that Ford Motor Company had already started using alternative fuel sources for their cars, and you could run the car on ethanol, which is whiskey. And farmers were setting up stills all over the United States, and Ford had a switch that you could go to the local farm and get a gallon of whiskey for a nickel or whatever that had been basically made from corn, and you could run the corn whiskey through the car. It ran perfect. It would made go either way with basically ethanol or with gasoline. Well, Rockefeller wanted no part of that because he knew that he could never ever gain complete monopoly control over the production of fuel for automobiles if the automobiles could run on an either or. And so what he ended up doing is funding the women's suffrage movement to stop the production of alcohol on local farms. And so they made all of these guys, you know, criminals if they started making their own whiskey to sell for automobile fuel. And so he was able to gradually shut down all of the little county stills and all the little people in the farms that were making this fuel for these cars until he was able to completely stop it by using the law. And then, of course, once he got all the cars completely back on gasoline and no one ever wanted to go back to that technology again, then suddenly this whole prohibition was repealed and people started getting alcohol again. But that was one of the primary factors, Austin, that the prohibition, it was about money and about greed and about monopoly from Rockefeller. This happened. You guys can do the research on that. You'll see that I'm 100% right on this. And the other thing is true. You got a plant out there that helps to break your dependence on opiates, supposedly this plant you're talking about. Hopefully it'll help you to calm down. It's like eating a coffee bud or something, or eating a coffee bean. Are they going to say now that coffee beans can't be used anymore? Oh, no, that's right. They already control the monopoly on those, too, so don't have to worry about that. Well, why don't we just go ahead and ban all corn? That's a good idea. Anyhow, it's mostly GMO anyhow because people can't make alcohol out of it anymore. Oh, that's right. It's not illegal to have your own still anymore. So, I mean, so it's ridiculous when you start legislating stuff like this, and another chink in this whole armor of freedom that God gave us to allow these government bureaucrats to come in and start chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Now they're going to tell you pretty soon you can't use sunscreen because sunscreen's not good, or you have to use sunscreen. And if you're not using sunscreen on the beach, you're going to go to jail because it's a felony. They can make up any of these laws, Austin, unless the people sit there and say, no, we're not going to tolerate this. They get this junk passed. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
No, it really is. I mean, the fact that the American population has allowed themselves to let the government turn plants and schedule them in controlled substances, what they've done numerous times. I mean, the cocoa plant, I mean, which is, you know, what they use in South America to make cocaine. That's completely illegal. I mean, you get caught with one of those on your property, you're going to prison, which is funny because you have to do so many different things, including using kerosene and solvent to try and extract and get cocaine actually out of those plants. But yeah, they're still illegal, and we see that all across the board. So yes, that's exactly what it is. It's just more government rule. And it's funny you brought that up because I have an article here about the fuel systems. Now, they're going the opposite way. The EPA now is wanting to raise the amount of biofuels in Americans' gasoline once again, and industry executives are saying this will severely damage most of the vehicles in the U.S., reduce the amount of energy per gallon, and add to the national economic uncertainty. Obama's EPA recently unveiled its proposal for 2017 renewable fuel standards. The administration says its call for additional biofuels is part of its ongoing effort to reduce dependence upon fossil fuels and develop cleaner burning energy sources. The issue is now we're already reaching almost 10% in ethanol, guys. If you go to the gas station, every gas station says that now contains up to or almost 10% in ethanol. That's exactly what that was talking about. That's corn alcohol. And it's really, really, really hard on new vehicles, fuel systems. They were never designed to function like this. The old school Model Ts that you could run this stuff on, that was very, very basic, simplistic technology, and they knew that it could handle that, and they were even able to run it on alcohol, as Dad was just saying. These new high-tech computer-controlled vehicles were never designed to be on this. As you see, they already have the E15, which is the 15% ethanol stuff that some vehicles are designed to run on. The problem is long-term maintenance and long-term viability with these vehicles is not working properly. We've seen it in our own lawn equipment and stuff. We usually do our own yards at the house, you know, hedges, stuff like that. And we started seeing it, you know, 10, 12 years ago when they started adding all this ethanol in. It started trashing out everything. The carburetors, the hoses, the lines, the bowls, the floats, everything was always trashing out with this ethanol. And it's ruining these cars' vehicle fuel systems. Now the EPA wants to add more of it into the systems, and they're saying these vehicles are not designed to run on this much ethanol mix. And I mean, what do you think about this, Dad? I know there's another underlying play why they're trying to use more corn alcohol in fuel.
Well, yeah, because you got to remember, the corn alcohol subsidy for the farmers is in the billions of dollars a year. I mean, the government has to subsidize the growth of this filth. And so what they've done, they have an entire subculture now of farmers that get alcohol subsidies and ethanol subsidies every single year. And so this whole thing's turned into its own little industry. And so now they got lobbying groups trying to get farmers more money, and now they're getting lobbying groups trying to get Congress to put more this ethanol fuel in. I remember that blithering idiot George W. said, "We're going to grow our way out of this problem with fuel dependency." Let me make a news flash here. This is something everybody needs to get. We have multiple times the amount of oil in Saudi Arabia in the United States right now with our tar sands and oil wells, and in Alaska. I mean, we have huge reservoirs of fossil fuel. And quite frankly, fossil fuel is antiquated technology. It was antiquated about the same time they were bringing it on because of what Tesla discovered. They don't want us using the Tesla discoveries in the energy from the ether, from the air, from the atmosphere. They don't want this. This is what they want us to do, is continue to burn these fossil fuels, which is stupid, but that's because they can get a monopoly on it. Because remember, they make thousands of dollars per gallon, per barrel of oil in the production of plastics and pesticides and chemicals and perfumes. And the list just goes on and on and on and on from every barrel of oil. The residue from the production of this and the refining of all of this stuff is gasoline. Okay, they used to dump it because they had too much of it. They didn't know what to do with it. Well, now they don't have to sell the gasoline for $2 or $3 or $4 or $5 a gallon. They've already made thousands of dollars for a barrel of oil. They could literally sell it to us for 50 cents or 20 cents or 30 cents or whatever. They could do that. The rest could be all highway taxes. It doesn't make any difference. And that way we'll have better infrastructure on our roads. But they don't have to do this, Austin. This is all, again, about the petroleum industrial complex that was run by the Rockefellers, who now we find out who were funded by the Rothschilds. I've been calling that out for 20 years because they funded everybody. And they're the ones that are controlling this. And they don't want free energy because it's all about greed and avarice. It doesn't matter how much. These guys are trillionaires and it's not enough. My God, they're trillionaires and it's not enough. I don't even know what that even means. 1,000 billions? Okay, I got that. But I mean, that's not enough. They can buy the nicest yachts, the nicest homes. They can buy countries. They can do whatever they want to do. But it's not enough because Lucifer has his agenda. Lucifer's agenda is the complete and total dominance of mankind to subject us back into slavery, into serfdom, back into a feudal system, and that's what their goal is. Their goal is to push us back, and dumb us down. It's like the ant colony's gotten too big, and they gotta filter it out so they can get rid of some of the ants. That's how they look at us. They don't see us as humans, they see us as goyim. And if you don't get that, you're not gonna understand the agenda, because you're not gonna understand how a sociopathic mind works. These psychopaths, I mean, they don't care. They don't think about anybody. If we go out and we kill a bunch of red ants, you know, we don't sit there and lament and cry that we killed a bunch of red ants. They look at human beings the same way. If they have little children begging not to be killed, and there's stupid sacrifice rituals they do, or there's sodomy rituals that they do, and these kids are crying and screaming for mommy, they don't care. They don't identify with that child. They don't care. It's all about what they want to do and subjecting humankind to the lowest common denominator. It's about turning everything that God created upside down so they can bring in a Luciferian one-world state into the world. The Pope, the blithering idiot Pope, this yesterday, God can't keep a stinking foot out of his mouth. Now he says that Mary is above Jesus and Mother Church is above Jesus and Jesus is now third in line. Are you joking me? And this is all about Venus worship. And all this stuff is to bring us back in to that mindset of the old Roman Empire in which we were worshiping all of these gods, to bring us to the one true God that they believe is Lucifer, to bring him in and install him on the throne. That's what they're going to do. Read the book of Revelation. It says they're going to do this. I mean, we're not making this stuff up as we go along. The problem is we've all awakened in the middle of this not so funny horror story, and we're like, wait a minute, we don't want you to do that. How about no? And now everybody's starting to wake up, and now everybody's, that's why he said, Donald Trump's not a man. Donald Trump's a movement. It's a movement of people who have finally awakened and said, wait a minute, I don't believe everything they told us on 9/11. I think something was kind of fishy about all that. And we certainly don't believe what they told us about John F. Kennedy. And hey, well, you know what? We really don't believe what's going on with ISIS in Iraq. And why did they hang Saddam Hussein when there weren't any weapons of mass destruction found? Why did they put him back in power? And why are all these things happening all the time? And why are our boys dying? And why do we have gay and lesbian bathrooms now and transgender bathrooms? Hey, you know what? I'm awake. I don't like this. This is all getting kind of weird. And when you start questioning the narrative, Austin, it makes you go online, it makes you do research, and it makes you start questioning all of the things they've told us, and now we're beginning to realize it's like we're a bunch of mushrooms being fed a bunch of feces. It's kept in the dark, and everybody's finally going, hey, you know what? I don't want to be out here in the mushroom pile anymore. I've had enough of this stuff, and I want my country back. And that's what's happened. And they had no idea the groundswell movement that Donald Trump was going to elicit, Austin. If they had, they would never have given him the ability to connect with the American people on what, over 10 years on The Apprentice. They would have never given him that type of notoriety, because now he's a household word and they're scared of him because they can't control him, son, because he's not a member of one of their secret societies. Now, Newt Gingrich called that outright.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, too, in other news, I don't know anything about this yet. I just pulled it up a little bit ago before we went on the show. UCLA campus out in California had another shooting. It looks like they said two people died. I have no idea. This is probably something set up again. They're saying that the gunman is still on the loose and has not been apprehended. Again, I have no idea what the validity of any of this is. But always remember, guys, California is a borderline gun-free state as far as the restrictions. And thanks to their Jerry Brown governor out there last year, remember, he signed into law SB 707, which banned students from carrying concealed weapons on school grounds and college campuses. So, of course, you always make sure that you make college campuses one of the largest places that students and young men and women go to learn. You make sure that nobody can defend themselves on campus, and that's what he's done now. So it doesn't surprise me that something like this happened, because criminals don't generally follow the laws. That's always been a concept that I've never been able to understand with liberal logic when it comes to gun control at all. And nobody's ever been able to explain it to me. There's already laws in place for shooting somebody. There's already laws in place for murder. There's already laws in place with assault with a deadly weapon. There's already laws in place for carrying weapons illegally. There's already laws in place for possessing an illegal firearm. But yet, people still kill people with guns, and then everybody wants to go, oh, we need to ban guns completely. Does that really make any logical sense? No, it doesn't. So I'm not sure what happened with this. I'm sure we'll look into it today and tomorrow. Probably is another false flag or some type of setup again. I know California is one of the easiest states to get false flags, because even though they do still allow them to carry guns and own some guns over there with the restrictions, California, from what I've seen when I've been over there and the people I know, I've been to California numerous times, very few people that I've ever run into out there actually carry firearms or have them on their person or in their vehicle. So that's just my personal view on it. I'm sure there's areas that change. But, yeah, so I thought I'd touch base on that real quick before the show's over.
Okay. $150 now to buy a dozen eggs in Venezuela. $150 for one dozen eggs in their currency. Again, this is what gold and silver does. If the people who were living there had taken all of their money, when it was still worth something, and bought gold and silver, they wouldn't be in the situation right now. Think about that. Because their money would have maintained itself. It'd be worth a whole lot more now as far as the amount of money it'd be worth, as far as it would take a lot. The money would have maintained completely and totally stabilized. So there you go. So that's what people need to understand. Here's another article that came out on the agendas of chemtrails, and I've covered this before on Hagman. Let me run over through it real quickly. Number one, weather and environmental modification, electromagnetic operations, military operations, biological operations, planetary geophysical operations, surveillance, and exotic propulsion systems. Now this is interesting. These are the products, the propulsion systems can be tested now, be found, such as gravity and anti-gravity propulsion systems can be tracked now because of the chemtrails creating this giant soup. And so, guys, there's a lot of things out there they're not telling us about chemtrails and electromagnetic weapons. I've covered a lot of it on the Hagman Show. But guys, thank you so much. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate you listening today. We appreciate you supporting Health Masters, which we really haven't promoted at all today. So thank you for promoting healthmasters.com. You can get all the lesson lines and everything else if you're listening to the show for the first time at healthmasters.com. We also have a great newsletter that we'll mail out to you completely free of charge. We send a lot of current news information now. And guys, I appreciate you. I mean, I really do mean that. We love you. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for supporting us. And thanks for listening. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes. Thank you, guys. If you need anything, call us or email us at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.